podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to the TWS Sports Podcast.
The question is darts really a sport?
It was the worst tackle I've ever seen.
Fair play to Joe Root, it was a great knock.
There's nothing like a good derby match.
It was easily the best 7-iron I've ever hit.
Right, come on lads, let's crack on.
Hello and welcome to the TWS Sports Podcast with me, Adam Millichip. My colleague Nigel isn't with us again this morning, but not to worry, as my two trusty co-hosts, Tom and Thomas, are here as always. How are you today, lads?
We're doing fine.
Thanks.
Good. Tom and Thomas are students at Tetnall Woods School in Wolverhampton. Tetnall Woods School is a school for children and young adults with autism, and we have set up this podcast to provide our pupils with a fantastic opportunity to develop a range of skills whilst interviewing top sportsmen and women from a variety of different sports. Joining us today on the TWS Sports Podcast is an Irish rugby player. He's played 28 times for his country, Ireland, and over 180 times for his club team, Connacht. Welcome to the podcast, Kieran Marmion.
How are you, Nan?
Yes, not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
So, Kieran, what have you been up to this week?
This week, I'm off playing at the moment, so it's the off-season. So, my mom lives in Wales, so I'm back in Wales visiting her. Haven't been back here in about 2 years, so got the ferry over and staying for a few weeks. And to be honest, everything's very quiet over here. There's not too much going on. So just relaxing and catching up with a few friends.
Looking back at your childhood, who were your sporting heroes? And did you always want to be a rugby player?
For me, I always played every kind of sport. My parents like put me out there to play everything. So when I was younger, I started off doing cricket, swimming, judo, football, rugby. So, like, I did as much as I could, and probably every weekday there was a different kind of sport going on until I got to about 15 or 16, maybe, where it probably narrowed into a bit more rugby focus. But probably sporting heroes was a tough one because there's so many different sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's different heroes in every different sports, I think. So probably when you look at the likes of cricket and stuff, you probably watch Freddie Flintoff in that. And then there's football, you probably had lads like Michael Owen you'd look at. So, yeah, all different sports, there's different heroes. So I can't really say there's one that truly stood out.
Do you think it's important, Kieran, as a child especially, to play lots of different sports rather than just focus on one?
Yeah, definitely. I think the more sports you can play, the better. I think you probably pick up skills in different sports that transfer into the sport that you go into as you get older. But probably just the enjoyment of playing all different sports, you get to meet different people. There definitely is kind of different cultures within different sports, and you get to pick up that along the way. But yeah, for me, I'd encourage younger people just to play as much as they can, because again, it just builds skills that transfer into everything.
Your dad is Irish, your mum is English, and you grew up in Wales. Therefore, you could have played for any of those countries. Was it a tough decision, and why did you choose to play for Ireland?
So I started going over playing for Ireland when I was 16. I started playing in the Exiles system when I was 15, I think. So I was pretty young when I started. I think my dad was pretty confident in me going over to Ireland. So I took that route, and I've really enjoyed it. I've been going over there since I was 16 years old. I'm 29 now and I'm not still over there. So, yeah, I really enjoy being over there. I love it over there. It's probably home for me now. So, yeah, I think my dad's side was more of the pushing factor of me going over to Ireland, his Irish family. And then where I am in Ireland now, in Galway, that's where all his family are from. So, yeah, I kind of just ended up back where they came from.
According to Adam, he says that you used to play cricket with him for Wales. Did you enjoy playing cricket? And you still play it at all?
Yeah, I love the cricket. So in the summer it'd be cricket, and in the winter it'd be rugby. So yeah, I still play when I can. It's a lot harder now to be able to do that. But over in Ireland, there's not as much cricket as there would be here in Wales. But yeah, like whenever I get the opportunity, I'd go and pick up a bat with my brother and play in the garden or something. But like competitively, I wouldn't be able to play as much anymore. But yeah, I loved it growing up. The summers, I remember just being all cricket, and all the tours away you'd have. And yeah, I remember looking forward to all those sunny sunny game. So, yeah, I love cricket. I love watching it still. Just not as involved playing it anymore.
You came through the IRFU Exile system. Could you tell us a little bit about that and did you enjoy it?
Yeah, so basically that's a system that's put in place for people who have Irish parents or grandparents who have ended up over in England and Wales or Great Britain, like myself. It's probably just an opportunity for people who have left the system to come back in. And I think over the last few years, it's recognized a lot of talent and brought people back over to Ireland. For me, I personally probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to get back over there without that system in place. So yeah, I can't really speak highly enough of it. I remember for me, I went to a trials in London when I was 15. It was like a two-day camp, played that, got through the trial, and we went on tour back over to Ireland, over to Galway, played two games there, and from there kind of got spotted to play for the Irish underage system. And then once I was in that system, I kind of got kept in there, and that's how I've ended up where I am now.
You made your club debut for Connacht in 2012. What was it like to sign for them and then make your debut?
Yeah, it all happened pretty fast for me. So I was in college in Cardiff for a year, and then I got a call for an opportunity to go over into the academy in Connacht. And I was kind of humming and hawing about it. Probably a few people were trying to tell me to finish off my college course before I moved over there. But I ended up taking it up, and I was over there for a year in the academy and playing for the Irish under 20s. And then out of nowhere, this next summer, I think all three nines in my position got injured in Connacht. So I was kind of catapulted into the starting position. And luckily I took my chance. But playing my debut probably came a bit quicker than I was expecting. I remember it was a wet day against Cardiff. And yeah, it kind of happened out of nowhere. And from there, just kept playing. And yeah, just lucky to get the opportunity and to take it.
You won the Guinness Pro 12 title in 2015-16. What are your memories of that season of winning the championship?
Yeah, I think it was the same year Leicester won the football. I remember at the start of the year, well, no one would have given us a hope at the start of the year. We would have been way down the rankings. But I remember as the season went on, we started winning more and more games. And then there was the confidence that kind of started building. And towards the end of the season, we were kind of nearly expecting to win every game we played. We played Glasgow in a semi-final, who were one of the top teams. People still didn't really expect us to win that, but we won that comfortably enough. And then we had Leinster in the final, who are probably our big rivals, probably the best team in Europe over the last few years. So that was probably the big challenge, the final. Again, no one really expected us to win that. And again, we went out there as a sunny day in Edinburgh and we just dominated that game. And then the celebrations afterwards lasted for about a week. I think, yeah, it's probably one of the biggest moments. Well, it probably is the biggest moment in current rugby history. So yeah, I remember that. It was a great day out there. All our families were over in Edinburgh. I think half of Connacht was over in Edinburgh, and we came back and we had a big open top bus when we came back. And I just remember going around town, and it was like the whole town was out there supporting us. It was incredible. We were going through town in this bus and all the fans were around it. So yeah, hopefully more of those days to come.
Do you think they can win it again next season?
Yeah, we always go into every season thinking and trying to win each season as it comes. Again, it's very tough. I mean, it is a tough competition. I think all the Irish teams, top quality of the Welsh teams, the Scottish and the Italians, who actually won the Rainbow Cup on the weekend. And this year we have the South African teams joining us as well. So they'll add an extra element to the league. But yeah, again, every season we go into, we think we can win it. We'll try and win it and do as best as we can.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing the South African teams join. What do you think the South African teams will bring is maybe different to sort of the Welsh and Scottish and Italian teams?
Yeah, no one's really too sure when teams like that enter the league. I guess South Africans, traditionally, they're bigger, more physical. But then we saw Treviso play them on the weekend, and Treviso did extremely well against them, which I don't think too many people were expecting that result. But again, it's been great. We had like the Cheetahs and the Kings, come into the league a few years ago, and we get to have these trips over to South Africa, which is probably an opportunity that most people wouldn't get. So I know everyone's enjoyed those trips over there. And then for the South Africans, I think they come over and play like 3 games, tours or something, can travel around. So like it must be tough logistically for them to keep coming over and back and over and back. But for us, yeah, we really enjoy the trips over to South Africa. Probably the fact that there's more teams around the world in the league probably adds a bit of interest from the outside. So yeah, I can only see it being as a good thing, and I don't know, I guess we'll find out how good they are when they come in next year.
I definitely think an away trip to South Africa sounds a lot better than an away trip to Swansea.
A few lads would argue against that.
You've played for Connacht throughout your career. Have you ever been tempted to move?
Yeah, I've loved it there. I think as a player, when you're in those situations, like contracts only last maybe 2 or 3 years. When you're a player, you obviously look at what's best for you, what's best for your family and stuff. So I think every player, when they're out of contract, probably looks at what's going to be best for them. There's been times in my career where I've had a look, but at the moment, I'm happy in Galway. My family's there. My brother's moved over. He lives there now. So, you know, I make good friends over there. I like it there, but like I said, as any sports person, you're bound to look at other options when you're out of contract. So, but for me, I'm happy where I am right now.
So we've come to the part in the podcast now where we would like to help and promote another podcast. I've been contacted by Jan Miller from Alabama, and she has the podcast Conversations with Jan. Hi, Jan. How are you?
Hi, Adam. It is so nice to be able to be here with you today. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
No problem at all. Thank you for coming on. So tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Hey, Adam, I'd be happy to. The name of my podcast is called Conversations with Jan, and you can find it anywhere where you get your podcast. We're bringing very important topics back to the table to discuss with our families and friends, our loved ones, some uncomfortable maybe, some not, but we've lost the skill of communicating. And so my podcast is getting people to put their phone down long enough to have an one-on-one conversation and to get back some of that real communication that we seem to be missing in this time today.
I completely agree with you. Has there been any standout conversations that you've had with anyone on your podcast?
Season 1, episode 2 is suicide prevention. That is a hard topic to talk about with a friend or a family member. But Adam, I lost my son in 2015 to suicide. And I would have gave anything to sit and talk to him just one more day. Just have that conversation. Son, what is wrong? Are you thinking about killing yourself? If I'd have had that, maybe I would have had Daniel today. Those questions are uncomfortable, right? But necessary. People are hurting. And all you got to do is just ask them the blunt questions. Maybe it'll help someone else's child be around tomorrow. So that is season 1, episode 2.
I'm so sorry to hear about your son, Jan. Thank you very much, Jan, for coming on to our podcast.
Being in a rugby team, you must have seen lots of pranks at club and country level. What has been the best one you have seen?
Oh, the best prank, I guess. We used to have this lad called Robin Copeland in our team, and we have these lockers on our change room that, like, you open them up and they fold back down above your head. And I think it came to a stage where it was nearly every day lads were just putting a glass of water on top of Robin's locker, and he'd go to close it every day and it'd just fall on his head. And it kind of got to a point where it was just happening like every day, and it kind of wasn't even that funny anymore. But I guess it was funny because it was just him, and they just didn't get it. Like,
did he not catch on in the end?
He just didn't catch on. Probably, if he was still here, it'd probably be still going.
You made your Ireland debut against Argentina in 2014. What was it like getting the call and to play your first game?
Yeah, it was always pretty special getting the first cap for Ireland. For me, I'd been in camps for about a year beforehand. I'd been on a tour the year before and I hadn't been capped. And it was something I obviously wanted to do, just like every professional rugby player. So I got over to Argentina, which was a pretty cool place to get my cap. Yeah, it's a cool experience. Like, Argentina is a cool place as well. The crowd's pretty hostile there. But yeah, to get on the pitch and actually achieve playing for Ireland is probably like something that all professional players, like dream of when they're growing up. So to actually get out there and achieve it and to tick that off, you just then want to build on that and get as many as you can. So yeah, it's definitely a proud day for me and my family. And yes, and I look back on and fond memories.
So last week we caught up with WBC super lightweight world champion Chantel Cameron. What do you think of the chat, boys?
It was rather interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, could have gone better.
Yeah, she was interesting to speak to, wasn't she? Well, here's what she had to say when we caught up with her.
In September 2020, you signed with Eddie Hearn's Matchroom Boxing. Why did you make that move?
Because it's the biggest platform in boxing in the UK, in my opinion. So it made perfect sense to sign with a big promotion.
So not long after signing with Eddie Hearn, you got your world title shot, didn't you? What are your memories of that fight and what was it like to be crowned the world champion?
Amazing. It was WBC as well, so the one that I've been wanting for years. So it was just a dream come true.
You defeated Melissa Hernandez in Las Vegas a few weeks ago to defend your title. How was your first experience fighting in America?
It was amazing. It was a completely different world out there, and every boxer's dream is to box in Vegas, and now I've ticked that one off. So it was an incredible experience.
What's next for you?
I'm having a unification fight, so I'm going to be boxing another world champion. So I'm just waiting for the date to be announced and confirmed.
Fab, and where are you hoping for that fight to happen?
Hopefully the UK, which would be nice. There's some of my fans in that can come watch me.
Kieran, we have a question from a listener who's got in touch with the podcast. If anyone has a question that they would like to ask a guest or a story they'd like to tell us, then please email twssportspodcast@hotmail.com. Our question today, Kieran, is if you could change one rule in rugby, what would you change and why?
One rule in rugby. Probably the length of time that scrums go on for. I think most people would like to see that cleaned up. Probably slows the game down a bit, but I guess if you're asking me that, if you ask a prop that, they'd probably say something different, something completely different. But for me, yeah, you put me on the spot here. So I'm going to say probably the time scrums take to speed the game up, I think.
Would you like in rugby league, they don't have scrums, do they?
I think it's an important part of the game, but I think at times there's so many resets and just like you could collapse about five times and just about 5 minutes gone in the game. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's definitely an important part of the game. I mean, teams with a good scrum have such a dominance in the game and it makes such a difference. But just for me, just speeding it up a bit would be probably the one thing if you're asking me.
As a scrum half, what's the rule on putting the ball in the scrum? Because I've never seen a scrum half put a ball in straight.
Well, they say, I think they say it has to go in straight, but yeah, it never does. I don't know. I think that was the time where they started actually policing it a bit and free kicking nines for not putting it in straight. But I say it's probably ref for a few games and then forgot about. So, like if the team has the ball, they have the advantage. So I guess good luck to the other team trying to push them off it.
You have played in a number of Six Nation matches. Do you feel more nervous playing in these games? And what has been your favourite Six Nations match?
I think like every game, yeah, the Six Nations have bigger build-ups. There's probably a bit more nerves going into games. But as soon, like everyone says, as soon as you're out there, they kind of go and you're in the moment. So, yeah, I guess probably the bigger build-ups for those games. You're probably more excited as well because of the buzz around them. But my favourite game for me personally was probably the game we played against England. I think England were coming over to Ireland and they had to beat us to win the Grand Slam. And I think we did end up beating them. So I think we ended up coming second in the league, but to stop them from getting the Grand Slam. And for me, that was a game I started in. So that was probably my favourite game.
I know you've played in the number of Six Nations. Have you ever won Six Nations?
Yeah, I think it was 2018. We won the Grand Slam. We went over to England that game and beat them over there. And we got the Grand Slam that year.
If you could take us inside a rugby dressing room, what would happen in there before kicking off? What would a pre-match routine be like?
So if we're playing at home, we usually get to the ground maybe like 2 hours beforehand. you have a like opportunity to get strapped, and then you need taped up, and then you go in the gym, we play a few games, all be pretty like low-key kind of stuff, have a few like unit meetings, positional meetings, and then when you go into the change room, you wouldn't be in the change room for that long at all, maybe like 20 minutes just to get changed, maybe like have a bit of a talk, and then that's it really. You'd be out on the pitch for a warm-up. A warm-up's quite short, they'd probably be like 20 minutes long, and then you're straight into the game. So yeah, you wouldn't actually be in the change room that long, but like we're in the gym doing positional stuff, talks or whatever like that. So yeah, it'll be pretty chilled out and straight out to the warm-up and then into the game.
Do you have any superstition?
No. No, I don't have any superstitions. So yeah, that's the answer to that, no.
It's quite strange because all the sportsmen and women we've spoke to all have superstitions, and you're the first one not to have one. Yeah, it's quite strange. Lots of players we spoke to like put their left sock on first or wear certain pants and eat certain things. No, nothing?
No, I never really thought that was a good idea. Like, you might forget your pants one day and then you think you're a hard player.
You played against New Zealand in Dublin in 2018 and beat them 16-9. This was the first time Ireland had ever beat New Zealand at home. What was that like?
Yeah, I think there was a massive buzz around that game. I think maybe 2 years ago we'd gone over, we played them in America and we beat them for the first time there. So a good bit of confidence was built there, but then they came over the following week to Dublin and beat us in the rematch. So I think there's a bit of talk around trying to beat them on home soil for the first time. And yeah, that game in 2018, we managed to achieve that. Yeah, I remember there's a big buzz around the country for the game. Obviously, whenever you're playing New Zealand, it's probably the biggest game you can play. So yeah, there's a great atmosphere at the game. And yeah, again, we came out on top in that game. It was just a great achievement for Ireland. I mean, I think we beat them two times out of the last three we played them. So yeah, things look good there.
Would you say out of all the games, like individual games you've played, is that probably the best one?
It's probably the biggest one. I don't know, it's hard to say it's your best performance or not, but the fact that who you're playing and the magnitude of the occasion, you probably had to put it up there as one of the better ones. Yeah.
Did you enjoy facing the hacker?
Yeah, it's a cool experience. You watch it on the TV, you see how much it like brings the crowd into the game. It's such a big part of the tradition of like rugby and New Zealand rugby. So to stand opposite it is pretty surreal. And it's definitely cool. It adds an extra edge to the game. So yeah, definitely something I've always wanted to do, and I've been able to do that about three times now. And every time it's just the hairs on the back of your neck. So it's a cool experience.
Does it intimidate you, or does it not really bother you?
I wouldn't really say like it's not intimidating, but it definitely brings the crowd into the game and adds to the atmosphere of it.
Have you ever been tempted? Because sometimes you see teams do something. So I think a few years ago, Wales like walked up to them. England did that V.
Yeah.
Have Ireland ever discussed doing anything in retaliation to it?
No. When we played them over in America, we actually formed a figure of eight while it was going on, I think, because like one of the Munster coach, Anthony Foley, had died, I think, a few weeks beforehand. So out of respect to him, we did the figure of eight. And that was more of a thing out of respect than anything else. But apart from that, no.
Do you think you can get back into the Ireland team?
Like a big season coming up now, come back rested. And yeah, that's the aim for me next season anyway. Get back in there and try and play as much as I can.
TWS Sports Podcast has teamed up with Surprise Shirts as our new partner. And they've very kindly given us a gift, which Tom's going to open now.
Right. Whoa.
What's in there, Tom?
Different footy shirts.
So what we got? So our first one, we've got some football shirts. Can you explain what this top, what it looks like, Tom, for listeners?
It's got green and yellow on it.
So it's a green and yellow with the badge Panther Sportif.
Mm.
So I think they're probably maybe a South American club. So we've got this one. This is our first one. So if you're listening on the podcast, it is, yeah, as Tom said, green and yellow stripes. The badge is a panther in football. We have to do a bit of research, Tom, before I know about this club.
Mm.
But what we're going to do on the podcast is the shirts that we've been sent by surprise shirts, we're going to hang up behind us. So each week we can talk about the different shirts and we can work together. Right, Tom, what's next?
Oh.
Well, this is an interesting one.
Okay. It's got some sponsors on it.
Got a lot of sponsors on that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sponsors on that.
Yeah.
When the sponsors are a Uruguay sponsor, so I'm guessing there this is going to be a South American again. The badge doesn't give it away because the badge just says GAF.
And the colours are blue and white.
It's blue and white stripes. Of course, I like this one. I think I prefer this one to the last one. Awesome. Okay, I think one more.
This one's a different type of blue. Like, it's not as dark as the other one.
Different material as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you describe this for our listeners, Tom?
It's got different sponsors on, and they recognise the language.
Yeah, so the team is Deportivo Alaves. So Alaves are in, I know this one, they're playing La Liga in Spain. So Surprise Shirts are a company, and they will deliver you a football shirt on their website. So go on their website, which is surpriseshirts.co.uk. Check them out. You can buy a mystery shirt and get one delivered. They can be from any team in the world, which is quite a nice surprise, actually, when you get the shirt delivered to you. So Surprise Shirts, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have you had any thoughts about what you want to do when you finish playing rugby?
Yeah, good question. I think a lot of us get asked this. So at the moment, so I did a year in college in Cardiff doing sports coaching and development. And that's probably something I want to go back into, doing coaching and rugby and that. But at the moment, last year during the lockdown, I just went back to uni doing a business course. So I just finished the first year of that. I've got another 2 years to go. So hopefully I get that done by the time I finish. And yeah, I'm not too sure. Something to do with coaching, maybe something to do with the degree I'm doing now. I guess hopefully I have a few more years left in me to make my mind up. But yeah, I'm not too sure yet, but something around the coaching and the degree I'm doing now, hopefully put me into something.
If you could have dinner with 3 people, who would they be and why?
Oh. I'd probably go down the boxing route. Well, I think I'd have Conor McGregor there. That'd be pretty entertaining. Probably Tyson Fury. I like listening to him as well. And then if I'm to have one more, maybe like a footballer, a Ronaldo or something, that'd be pretty cool to have.
That was so Conor McGregor, Tyson Fury, Cristiano Ronaldo, Kieran Marmion sat on the table.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty cool dinner. You see, you mentioned boxing. Hopefully, end of the year, we'll get that big fight, Tyson Fury v Anthony Joshua. You backing Fury to win?
Well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen at the moment, does it? Not for a while, anyway. I actually don't know. I think it could be Fury, but I like, again, Joshua, I think, could surprise a few people in that as well. So if I'm going to put my money on it, I'm going to go with Fury.
Yeah. It's so frustrating as boxing fans. All you want is these big fights to happen, but it seems like so much politics and stuff in the way that stops the fights from happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like they're both blaming each other for not signing the contracts. I guess you'll never know who actually isn't.
Thank you so much, Kieran, for taking the time to chat with us today. We really enjoyed speaking with you, and it means so much to us as a school to be able to have the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, for our next podcast, boys, any idea who's coming up next?
So next week, lads, we're going to go international. We'll be joined by an American professional baseball player, Ryan Wagner.
He will be a really interesting guest. Can't wait to speak with him.
Our TWS Sports Podcast will be released every Tuesday, so make sure you subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. The TWS Sports Podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many other podcast streaming apps. Thank you so much for joining us, Kieran, and thanks, lads, and see you next week.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for the questions.
Hi, Matthew Hoggard here. Please subscribe to TWS Sports Podcast, where you can listen to my thoughts. That won't take too long. Other great guests that will be on, and Tom and Thomas, because they are great hosts.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.